All its many perturbations arrested so suddenly they looked like a picked capture. Then they turned, all together, and faced the Catan. Hundreds of thousands of dull green glass eyes, perhaps millions, focused on Zaholash. The mountain's desperate wails stopped. Then, from every aperture in the rock, a single call blared, and it did not stop.
"Come to us, our jailers, and know the time of your destruction is at hand."
As one, the swarm streamed at the Catan, their frantic activity of a moment ago forgotten. Their primary programming impelled them. Their prisoner must not be allowed to escape. Zaholash met them with a wall of light. Scarabs shattered into glittering clouds, disassembled beyond the help of any self-repair ability. Thunder rolled from the gods. Felix watched, helplessly.
"Don't just stand there. Help it," said Call, "or it may doubt that you really are my servant, and that would be bad."
The Archmagos skittered over to the portal in the temple facade and began the difficult task of shutting it down. Primus stood guard over him, staring defiantly at Felix.
"Are you serious?" said Felix. "Have you any idea how much damage a freed Catan shard can do?"
Call waggled his head.
"A reasonably good idea. So be glad it is currently on our side."
Call depressed polished glyphs of blackstone. They sank into the portal frame with soft and final clicks.
"You know that entangled supermass I told you about?"
"Yes," said Felix, unable to stop staring at the star god. "You mean the Catan?"
"No, I don't," Call snapped. "I mean the supermass the gods' powers controlled. The reason they were enslaved here. Those particles are destabilizing. The Catan were holding the mass in place. They've all gone. There is nothing to maintain equilibrium. I have to close this gateway, but doing so will only remove the weakness of the entrance from the dimensional pocket. It will buy us a little more time. Soon the dimensional pocket will collapse, the supermass inside will collapse, and the resultant singularity will spill out into real space unless, he shouted, holding up a finger, the Pharos is taken permanently offline. The quantum engines generate both the supermass and its containment. Destroy it, and the supermass will dissipate.
Call moved to the other side of the portal frame. His many arms moved with rapid surety, though his voice remained calm, as if he were talking while observing someone else at work.
"Do you hear me, Decimus? When we get out of here, you must level this mountain, or the planet will be sucked into a black hole, followed shortly after by the Sothan Star, its other world, and everything else within half a light year of this place. Not that you'd see, because it will kill you first. Destroy it."
"What about the Catan?" said Felix. "I'd rather face a black hole."
Once more, Call gave Felix his infuriating smile.
"All will be revealed in due course, my boy."
Call depressed another series of glyphs.
"You must trust me, or else we are lost, and the hopes of mankind's salvation with us. Now, I may be incommunicado for a few moments. I must interface with the machine world to collect the data I came for. I have access to it, but it must be retrieved and exploded."
A giant piece of blackstone fell near the humans, shattering and pelting them with glass.
"Go, Felix! Larger constructs are awakening, and they could do the Catan harm. It must be allowed to think it is winning. I must have what I came for, or all is lost."
The core mine hall was shaking uncontrollably. Magma no longer fountained from the hole, but was instead welling implacably. It reached the top and formed a bubble under wrinkled black skin. Once a certain pressure was reached, the skin silently broke, and the magma crept slowly across the floor. It gave off a sense of malign intent. The world of Sotha wished them all dead, Tyranids, men, Necrons, and Catan, and its suffering over. In the air, Zaholash was periodically engulfed by swarms of scarabs. They worked around it in frenzied spirals, attempting to spin a fresh sarcophagus from the energy stored in their guts. Each time, they got no further than an outline before Zaholash burst it asunder with a pulse of energy that played havoc with Felix's comms system. They then began again.
"If you have betrayed us, Archmagos, then I will kill you myself," said Felix.
"You had failed, Decimus. More powerful men than you have tried."
The last glyph sank in. The gateway shut off.
There, he said. But you're not going to have to try. I give you my word. Now I'm afraid, gentlemen, that I really must go. Primus, protect me with your life.
As you command, master, said Primus.
Call folded his arms into himself and shut down. Felix shook his head and turned to face the battle raging above. A seemingly endless tide of scarabs poured from the ceiling. Other things were joining them. From the larger tunnels, spiders came, giant claws tracing patterns of killing energy in the air. Even larger constructs phased into being from nowhere and scuttled towards the fray, while floating, locust-like killdrones swarmed into the chamber. All were heading for the freed god. Felix attempted to use his vox.
Commonus, respond, he said.
His earbeads whistled with feedback so sharp and wild it made him wince.
Commonus!
The vox buzzed.
Tetrarch, you live!
Commonus, listen to me, Felix shouted quickly. Evacuate the mountain. Get everybody back from here. Everyone. Move as far and as fast as you can.
Lord, we must come to you.
A loud whistling howl cut off Commonus's next words.
Evacuate! Evacuate now! That is a direct command. Respond!
Felix heard nothing but static. A flying, ribbon-bodied machine horror sped overhead, metal jaws spreading wide. Needle tips generated a crackling annihilation field. It flew straight at Zahalash. Before the star god obliterated it, it bit deep, rupturing its necrodermis and bringing a wrathful roar from the god's mouth, along with a spear of blazing starlight.
You attack that which you cannot harm! We are imbued with the might of our devoured siblings! We are Zahulash! We are a god!
The construct was blasted apart by the star god's gesture. It ruptured all along its segmented body, fragmenting into dissipated clouds of ash. Zahulash leveled its staff with the drones, rendering them into sparking debris without any visible means. The Canoptech swarm responded with a redoubling of effort, powering at the Catan, weaving webs of fire and etheric steel around Zahalash that hardened into another new tomb before Felix's eyes. From the shadows, giant things crawled, stings active, sensors locked onto the Catan.
Curse you, Call! Felix swore.
He activated his power weapons and threw himself into battle. Call sank deep into the Xenos infosphere. Technology of such sublimity it made Call want to weep attempted to stop him. The Necron Empire had existed millions of years before man had the wit to see the stars for what they were. Its scientists possessed knowledge of the most profound sort. Their expertise in the construction of independent machines extended beyond the realms of the physical. Within the infosphere, thinking, light-born predators swam. They caught Call's scent as soon as he entered. When he penetrated the upper levels of their machine world security, they attacked. Call had not dared go this far before. The data was guarded by invisible fences and malign, abominable intelligences, and they required his full attention. To the Adeptus Mechanicus, the only thing worse than a thinking machine was an alien thinking machine, and the Pharos had those in abundance. The machine world could not be described in human terms. In earlier eras, such vistas had been rendered as visual fancies to allow the technomancers of the day to navigate the secret spaces of technology. But the Adeptus Mechanicus believed in the holiness of machines. They strove to adapt themselves to the inner world of the motive force, not it to them, to better understand their god's plan. Great intelligences pressed at him, outraged that he could gain access to their world. Their outrage grew as his stolen cipher keys disarmed their every defense. They employed modulated encryption technologies that drew on myriad dimensional states and hid the truth so thoroughly it would take more than forever to find. Call was the match of them. They flung deadly djinn, crafted from numbers and hate, to hunt him down. Call tamed them. Down he went, further into the core, through the coding of the mountain's survival impulses, to the essence of the Pharos's overspirit itself. Call was a virus. The Pharos was his host. Rapidly, his intellect spread through its branching ways until he infested it entirely, from peak to pocket world dungeons. Wrapped tightly into the being of the mountain was a gargantuan presence that guarded a hoard of knowledge. Call stole from it. He passed into the machine spirit, turned it about, plunged a million hands into a million gaps, and twisted. Keys. Keys. So many keys. Call had spent a man's lifetime gathering them, since Gilliman had returned from death and bade him release his Primaris Marines on the galaxy. There was always more to learn, more to know, and Belisarius Call would know it all. The keys turned. The mountain was his. Data speared him. He welcomed the pain. It meant success. With steady hands, he seized control of the Pharos. A torrent of knowledge poured into his memcore arrays. Belisarius Call opened his eyes. He was weary but exultant.
"It is done," he said to Alpha Primus. "Now for the next stage."
Felix deflected the Tomb Guardian's phase blades with his power sword. Only disruption fields would turn the weapons away, and they did so with a raucous banging and feedback lightnings that made his power armor cogitator shrill. He was quicker than the machine, more nimble. He landed blow after blow upon its shining hide, but the living metal of its body closed over each smoking gash. When it hit him, its weapons passed through his armor as if no ceramite clad him, part materializing within his suit to slit his skin and delve for his organs. Tyranids devoured life. Necrons expunged it. Chaos corrupted it. So many enemies with so much power. Felix was the apex of imperial might, and still it would not be enough. Yet will in man's heart was strong. That was where victory lay.
"Soulless abomination," he snarled.
His gravis plate was slow and heavy, but the strength it gave each blow was worth the trade-off in speed. He plunged his power sword into the joints of one of the creature's many legs. It screeched mechanically and flickered, beginning to phase out so that it could pass through the weapon and bring its own to bear upon the tetrarch. Coils whirled around Felix. Green lightning flashed from his warplate.
"Oh no," said Felix. "You are staying here."
Before the phasing process could complete, he overloaded his power sword, sending a surge of energy into the construct that burned out its circuits and made it scream again. The sword's field generator was reduced to a smoking box, but it had served its purpose. Felix pivoted on his left foot, bringing his power fist down into the creature's insectoid head with all the might of the Emperor himself. Metal exploded, spattering him with droplets that attempted to crawl away before dying upon his aquila. He plunged his fist deep into the thing's head, tearing out fistfuls of crystalline alien circuitry. To him it looked like nothing more than black sand, but this mass of grains held the thing's artificial soul, and he scattered them violently. The construct thrashed, knocking him from his feet. Felix held fast, grinding his fist deeper into the thing's innards. Green light blazed from its head as he ruptured something vital. Encouraged, he let fly with the gauntlet's attached twin bolters, hollowing the brain case, shattering the mechanisms, and blasting drops of squirming metal from the other side. The thing rose up, its bladed legs shuddering. Its maw weapon spasmed a final burst of fire, and it crashed down, dead. Felix was pinned beneath. Neural aftershocks twitched the construct's legs. Then it was still. He heaved up, his armor boosting his strength to godlike levels for a moment, and he rolled out, letting the machine crash back down. He came to his feet. Scarabs were pressing inwards towards the Star God, their carapaces running under the molecular manipulation beams of their fellows. Five great spider drones directed them, pushing the smaller robots on, transforming them into a new prison quicker than the god could counter them. Two more of the giant arthropod things approached Felix, swaying like serpents, balefire in their crystal eyes, attempting to shut down his mental processes by sensory overload. Felix braced. His power sword was gone. His in-display armor schematic showed several pieces of his plate in amber. His power feed was erratic. Half a dozen bolts were left in his ammo hopper, enough for a short burst. There was no way he could survive the coming onslaught. The constructs froze. They moved unsurely, as if waking. The spiders collapsed in on themselves, dropping hundreds of feet before their engines re-engaged. Scarabs rained down. Then they too righted themselves, and wings rattling, flew in docile order to hover over Belisarius Call.
"Well, well," the Archmagos said. "I could do it, after all. To control a swarm was quite a feat, but this..."
He raised many arms.
"Taking control of an entire mountain's worth of canoptic constructs is the work of genius."
He took a modest bow.
Make note, Tetrarch, that my deeds be remembered.
Silence fell on the mountain. The wailing alarm stopped. Soft notes, gentle as breathing, sounded in the tubes of the Pharos. The slow, crackling spread of lava provided the main source of noise in the chamber. From their high wall, the statues of dead gods stared blindly on.
You impress us, slave Kul, said Zaholash. But we are not done yet.
It pointed to the second portal, leading from the mine chamber to the machine hall.
We must proceed. There you shall find us a way to our other splinters, resurrection and true power.
Chapter 26. A Beacon Silenced. The tunnel over the void flickered. Each time it cut out, the space between the deep core mine and the quantum engine hall was replaced by solid rock. Kul, Zaholash, and their attendant swarm of machines were enfolded by a golden nimbus which faded out, taking them with it and leaving Felix and Primus behind.
We are going to have to jump, Tetrarch, said Primus.
The tunnel blinked on. Through it, they saw Zaholash and Kul phasing back into existence above the thundering machines. The mountain shook savagely, and the corridor cut out again. Huge sections of the ceiling were coming down. The lava crept closer, its great heat beating against their backs. Temperature gauges in Felix's retinal displays slid dangerously up. Another tremor rocked the chamber, followed by a loud grinding. Felix looked back to the temple facade at the end of the hall. Cracks ran all across the glyphs. Blackstone fell in tinkling showers. One of the gods tumbled from its pedestal, legs shattered on the floor, head landing in the lava, where it bobbled and collapsed into itself.
We are losing the passage, said Primus. We go the next time it manifests, or we will be trapped.
Felix nodded. Fizzles of energy wormed over the rock. They waited, tense, for the portal to reopen. The lava was moving faster over the featureless floor. The shaft of the mine was completely hidden by the growing lake of molten rock. Another tremor brought a wide section of the temple facade down in a rumbling avalanche.
There is a strong probability that we are going to perish here, said Primus.
Have faith, said Felix.
Now!
The portal cracked back into being. The two space marines hurled themselves through it. The void encasing the energy tube, dark before, blazed with bursts of deadly light. Radiation alarms clanged in Felix's ears. Then they were through, finishing their leap in the quantum engine hall, boots clashing down, sparks raked up from the blackstone by ceramite. Kul worked at a console made entirely of light. Shifting displays of glyphs hung over him. His servo skulls had come out of their hiding places in his body and hovered still in the air, data pulse beams linking imperial technology with that of the ancient dynasties. Violent tremors were bringing the ceiling down. A shield of constructs hovered over the hall, protecting the engines, Kul and the Catan from falling debris.
The Archmagos handles this equipment as if he were born to it, said Felix.
I assume that is a jibe, said Primus, striding forwards. The Archmagos works for our betterment.
By consorting with Xenos demons, Felix said to himself, following after Primus.
The time is now,
Zaholash said. It rose higher into the cloud of drones.
We are ready. Begin removal of my necrodermis. Order the constructs to build a translation stage, so we might seek out the first of our splinters.
As you command, Great One, said Kul.
His hands danced through floating icons, triggering new responses from the drones. A large part of them peeled away, diving down to the floor where they began to weave raised blackstone platforms with their jaws. Zaholash raised its arms. Its refulgence blazed through the metallic skin, cloaking it, as if it were becoming thinner, more translucent. Four whirling strands of drones spun around the star god and encased it in their glistening bodies, until only Zaholash's face was free of them.
In their greed, they allowed us to retain something of ourselves. That is their mistake. We remember what we were. We will gather ourselves and we will have our vengeance. Quickly, slave, release us from this form, and you shall have all that you desire.
The drones covered its face, sealing it in a living sarcophagus, this time not to entrap, but to free. Call continued his work, calling a flood of constructs from all parts of the mountain. He moved one of his left hands up and down like a conductor of music, and a great star map filled the space above them. Debris from the mountain fell through it in a steady rain.
"Enough!"
cried Felix.
"I would leave if I were you," said Call.
He pointed at one of the platforms being constructed by the drones. It was nearing completion.
"Upon that platform, a rift will shortly open. It will take you back to your ship."
The swarm boiled around the Catan. Slices of light cut through them. The Catan howled in pain.
"Quickly now! It will be free in a moment, and then it will know I have betrayed it. I really do not think Zaholash is going to be happy."
"Then you are true," said Felix.
"Decimus, I am true," said Call, in exasperation. "Zaholash is going for a very long one-way trip. We don't want it coming back."
"You knew this was going to happen."
"Knew? No. I'm no psychic. Accurately predicted," he smiled modestly. "But of course."
"How are you going to get out? And you, Primus?"
"So you do care," said Call. "I knew you did. Don't worry about me. I am Belisarius Call. I can do anything."
The drones withdrew from the ground. Five fresh floating platforms glinted over the quantum engines. Steps held up by contragravity fields led to one of the smaller four. The largest, that in the center, was directly below the Catan. Felix was frozen by indecision. Then he made his choice.
"Very well," he said,
and ran for the platform Call had pointed out to him. The mountain was dying. The quantum machines were failing. One exploded in a dazzling crash of green sparks, stabbing lightning into those nearest and causing them to detonate. The swarms of constructs were thinning. Giant lumps of blackstone rained down, narrowly missing the Tetrarch as he bounded up the floating stair to the platform. When he gained the top, he slowed in astonishment. There appeared to be a gap in the air where part of the world had been excised. On the far side was the command deck of the Lord of Vespeta. His crew stared at him.
"Go through, now!" Call yelled over the growing clamour, "or your ship will be destroyed!"
Felix marched to the edge of the rift. He looked at his crew. They looked back.
"Tetrarch!"
one shouted, forgetting completely all protocol in his amazement.
"I will destroy this mountain when I am aboard," Felix shouted.
Call spread him a quick smile.
"I'm rather counting on that, my dear Decimus."
Felix took one last look at the quantum engine hall, which was now shaking itself to pieces. The swarms were failing, the green light dying in their eyes. They sank to the floor and moved no more. Dead Necron constructs littered the place. The floor cracked as more lava welled up beneath it and spilled into the room. The last sight Felix had was of Call framed by a rising tide of molten rock, and then the Necron transit portal took the Tetrarch and threw him through time and space. Call shut the rift behind him. The distance between the ship and the Pharos seemed to be but a few feet. In reality, it was over 5,000 miles. To Felix, it felt considerably more. As he stepped through, a force grabbed him and hurled him from the platform. He tumbled down corridors of molded blackness, shining with motes of light. Every point had a voice. They all screamed at him. It seemed to go on for years, that sense of falling forwards, as stars and worlds and epochs sped by. And then his foot clanged on metal, as if he had taken but a single stride. He was on the command deck of his ship, stepping through as easily as if he had walked through a door. He turned around. The rift was closed.
"Tetrarch,"
said Shipmaster Myrinus, with admirable cool, "welcome back aboard." It took Felix a moment to steady himself. Reality seemed thin and strange, and he had to bend all his effort to force his mind back into the present. All his crew saw of his internal struggle was a moment of blankness, a setting of his lips, and then him heading straight to his podium.
"Where are Comenius and the Chosen?"
"They are coming into Docking Bay 6, my lord. The rest of the expedition is moving away from the Pharos," responded his master of operations.
"The Pharos," Felix said. "Do you have firing solutions on the mountain?"
Serfs were hurrying forwards, seeing to his battle gear. His gun and power fist were taken from his arm. His helm was removed from his head. cool ship air dried his sweat.
"All weapons are locked and ready to fire, as per your order, my lord," reported the gunnery chief.
"Broadcast these codes to the Zarquisitor," Felix said. "Inform their gunnery command to take aim on the mountain."
He datapulsed Kor's digital seal to the relevant crew member and looked towards the Oculus. The Pharos was erupting plumes of burning rock.
"Open emergency vox channel. All Imperial frequencies," he commanded. "Full power gain."
"Yes, my lord,"
a vox operator said.
"Open now."
"Tetrarch Felix to all forces on Sotha. Evacuate the mountain. All personnel to withdraw immediately to 100 miles safe distance. Abandon Odessa port. Withdraw."
"Gunnery," he said, "stand by to unleash full firepower of this fleet."
"Weapons primed and ready to fire. Do you wish to give the command?"
his gunnery chief said. Felix stared at the mountain.
"My lord?"
the gunnery chief asked.
"Hold until we have word of call," said Felix.
"We are reading a rapid increase in energy,"
his mistress of the Augurs reported.
"The mountain is becoming unstable. It will explode within 10 minutes.
A jet of fire burst from the side of the peak.
"The scythes of the Emperor's Fortress Monastery has collapsed, my lord," she said. "Readings are exceeding expected parameters. At this increase, the device in the mountain will destroy the planet. I recommend we strike now."
"Hold," said Felix, his face set. "Await my command." "About there, I think," Kor said.
He picked out a star in the green firmament projected by the Pharos.
"And just in time."
The drones around Zaholash were sucked inwards, then exploded outwards in a shower of broken metal. Shrapnel whirred towards Kor and Primus. His energy sheath turned them into flashes of bright light. The humanoid form of Zaholash was gone. In its stead blazed an orb of light. It touched Kor and Primus, and they felt their souls shrivel.
"You are trying to betray us," said Zaholash. "We see it."
"In a word, yes,"
said Kor, working feverishly over the alien console.
"Disappointing. You have promise," said the ball of light, "but expected. You will have nothing. You will die."
Kor laughed.
"I already have all I desire. I've inloaded it, all of it. The problem with entities like you is that you always leave the details to lesser beings. The secrets of the mountain are mine."
He depressed a final glyph. A discordant chime sounded, and the console winked off.
"You shall never be free."
A lash of starlight whipped across the space between them. Kor's conversion field flashed brightly.
"We will destroy you 1,000 times over.
"Getting testy won't solve anything," he said. "Your technology may look more advanced than mine, but I have the machine god on my side."
A portal opened over the largest translation platform directly into a distant patch of the void. A decompression hurricane sprang up. Immense gravity tugged through the gap. Through the portal, a giant yellow sun blazed. Everything in the room was dragged towards it. Necron constructs flew helplessly through. The Catan was pulled slowly towards the hole.
"It's nothing personal," Kor shouted. "I quite liked you, really."
Kor's feet clamped to the floor, shattering the rock to hold him in place. Mechadendrites speared into the ground and the machines around him. Anti-grav arrays arranged themselves against the pull of the star. Primus punched a hole into the side of a shrieking quantum engine and clung on grimly.
"Fool,"
said the Catan. It tore itself away from the portal, hanging unperturbed amid the storm of debris flying out of the mountain.
"We are the master of the physical realm. Nothing can destroy us. Nothing can restrain us. A little gravity is nothing to us. We who devoured stars."
It advanced on Kor, growing writhing tentacles of light from its disk. Lightning lashed around the hole in space.
"Well, not nothing,"
said Kor, upping the volume of the voxmeter built into his facepiece to maximum to be heard over the tumult.
"Prepare to die."
Zaholash reached for the Magos with its tendrils of light.
"I control the Pharos. The portal there is keyed into my brainwaves.
If they cease, it will vanish.
That is a fine piece of news.
It came closer, grew larger.
When you are dead, this reach of space will be our plaything.
You're forgetting the small matter of the singularity,
Call shouted.
If that portal closes, you will have no escape. The quantum engines are unstable. The entanglement of particles that powered this facility will soon slip its bonds. Not even you can flee a black hole. No power in this universe can.
Call cackled in triumph.
So, you either fly out of that hole and eat that delicious star I found for you, or you can stay here and die with me.
Zaholash stopped. The orb of its being pulsed angrily. Then, with a frustrated roar, it pulled in its limbs.
Ah! Know this, slave, roared the Catan, that you have earned the undying wrath of Zaholash. We will meet again, and you shall know the true cost of defying a living god.
I still won, though, didn't I? Said Kaul.
The Catan bellowed, swelled to twice its previous size, then shrank into a small bright dot that flew up and out of the portal.
About time, Kaul said. Primus, aid me, he wailed, wheeling his arms.
The distant sun pulled at him. Primus grabbed Kaul's arm.
I cannot use my psychic gifts, Master. The Blackstone still blocks me.
Yes, yes, never mind that, said Kaul.
With a thought, he called the console of light back into being.
This, and this, and this, and there, he said,
his hand moving over the glyphs in a blur.
Over one of the lesser platforms, a slit grew in space, opening up on a starship interior they both knew well.
The Zarquisitor, Primus said.
Alas, I cannot shut the larger portal. Too much of the Pharos is damaged. It will fail in moments. We will have to launch ourselves towards our ship.
He passed a command through the rift to his vessel.
I've amplified the grav plating in that section of the ship. If we time this right and leap past the larger portal, we should be able to surf the gravity waves and end up at home safely, so long as Decimus does his duty and destroys the mountain. Else it won't really matter whether we escape or not, because we shall be consumed by a hole in space and time.
If we miss, then we are both dead anyway, said Primus.
Primus, my firstborn son, danger only makes life more exciting.
They jumped into a maelstrom of light, debris, and noise.
Warning, warning, gravitic anomaly detected. Warning, warning.
As was the way, the direst tidings were delivered in the most droning of machine voices.
Warning, warning.
Combat lighting flooded the bridge. Toxins blared from every quarter.
My lord, the mistress of the augur shouted. Energetic emissions from the mountain are reaching critical point. Augurs are reading a massive increase in gravity at the Xenos site. We must destroy it now. We are already affected. Our orbit is perturbed.
Felix hesitated. The crust of Sotha was rupturing around the mountain, sucked in, tectonic plates rippling like a disturbed blanket being pulled through a hole. The tactical hololiths showed this greatly magnified. Cracks in the surface glowed red with the planet's molten blood.
My lord, if we do not open fire now, all is lost, the mistress of the augur said.
I am ready, Tetrarch,
the gunnery chief reported.
Call,
said Felix.
No word,
said the master of the Vox. Felix bit his lip. He had wished Call dead many times. To think the monster's death was here, at last, right now. It did not seem real, and he did not want it to happen.
Open fire. All weapons.
It was with visible relief that the gunnery chief passed on Felix's command. First, the ship's forward lance array scored the void with painful light. Then the ventral and dorsal batteries opened up, hurling solid shot munitions after the lasers. The Zarquisitor joined in, and suddenly the void between the ships and the planet was filled with noiseless fury. The lancers hit instantly, cutting the smoking peak of the mountain down and across. The last remains of the Emperor's watch slipped down the mountain face.
The Zarquesita's gargantuan plasma arrays burned liquid furrows across the stone. Plumes of evaporated rock burst upwards. It was not enough.
Gravitic anomaly growing in strength. We're being pulled in. Full reverse, all thrusters, bellowed Myrinus.
The ship rumbled. Its frontal thruster arrays burned hot. Metal groaned as the planet's soaring gravity pulled back. More alarms rang, warning of failing integrity fields and physical collapse. Slowly, slowly, the Lord of Vespeta turned. Felix kept his eyes on the mountain. The lancers fired again, and again.
We're too late, shouted the master of the watch. Maximum burn insufficient to drag us out.
The ship shook. Felix felt the pull of the Pharos anomaly dragging at him. Then the shells hit. The Pharos disappeared in a flash of atomic light. A cloud of vaporized stone rose from the mountain's location. The ship was released and immediately veered hard to port. A period of shouting followed as the crew righted the vessel and brought it back into line with Sotha. Then silence fell. The crew stood, eyes fixed on the world.
Report, said Felix.
Anomaly gone, said the mistress of the augurs. The Pharos is destroyed. She watched screens bearing data only she could read. The mountain has collapsed into itself. The fiery cloud dissipated. A great wen of burning magma marked the site of Sothopolis and Mount Pharos. What had survived for millions of years was destroyed for all time.
Vox Master, said Felix, find me call.
My lord. The Vox hummed with pure function. No interface marred the carrier wave. The Pharos had been silenced. But no matter how many channels the Vox Master tried, no return signal came from the Archmagos. Reports came in from the planet and the rest of the small fleet. Of call, there was no sign. For half an hour, Felix remained on the command deck, gathering in the expedition, which had been scattered over a large area of the planet. He was deep in conversation with Commonus when a priority Vox chime drew his attention to the comm center.
Message from the Zarquisitor, said the Vox Master.
He looked up in surprise.
It is the Archmagos, my lord.
Respond. Put him on command deck Vox meters. The Vox crackled. There was a soft chuckle.
I'd say that went rather well, wouldn't you, Decimus? Said Belisarius Call.
Chapter 27. In Memoriam. Felix occupied the throne in the audience chamber of the Lord of Vespeta. His armor was burnished to a high shine. He wore his cloak and chain of office. His weapons and helm were displayed on a stand to his right, the staff of the Tetrarchy of Vespeta to his left. All around him were expressions of Macragian art at its finest. Friezes in marble surrounds, carved translucent stone of every hue, statues in metal and marble. A high dome roofed over the hall. The ceiling bore a star map of Greater Ultramar, made of jewels. The polished black floor was inset with a gold map in mirror image of the ceiling. A vast rose window looked down on Sotha and Kor's Zarquisitor floating over the planet, large as a moon. All in the stateroom was perfect, pure, glorious. The Order of the Star Realm of Ultramar was replicated in miniature, an example of what the Imperium could be. It was a dream. Ultramar was in ruins. The Imperium split asunder. Felix was a hollow ideal in a throne room of lies. He despised the trappings of power.
That is why you must bear this burden, Decimus Felix, the Primarch had said to him, because you have no wish for it.
Felix doubted the Primarch knew Call had said something similar to him. He wondered if their words were true, or just common platitude. He could never know. He could never really know if he wanted power or not, for he had power, and had had since he was a boy. Ancient genotech made him physically strong and mentally astute. The best weapons the Imperium had were his to use. A swathe of the Imperium was under his governorship. If he had none of those things, would he have yearned for them? Would he fight to attain them? No one could ever know how they would react under different circumstances. He had been torn from his family, but he had wished to join the Ultramarines. That was an attempt to gain power, no matter that he wished to serve.
He served now in this awful era. There was little difference between what he had wanted and what he had got. He understood Belisarius' call, even if he could never condone his actions. Call's embassy of lesser priests stood by the door. His chief ambassador knelt before Felix's throne, waiting for permission to rise. Felix withheld it while he thought.
"Stand, Quo 87, said Felix eventually.
The tech priest stood.
"I am not Quo 87, my lord, he said. My designation is Quo 88.
I should have guessed. The one who died within the Pharos was your clone predecessor. Is there no carryover of personality?
Not quite, said Quo. We share a common origin, but we are individuals.
Then Quo 87 is truly dead.
Everything can only live once, said Quo 88.
Tell me where Call is.
You can appreciate that the Archmagos is occupied at the time being with data retrieved from the Pharos, said Quo 88.
Felix leaned forwards. His armor growled in the quiet of the audience chamber.
Tell me what the nature of that data is, he said.
Navigational data. The Pharos was a beacon, a star road, and a communications array.
To what end does the Archmagos require this data?
My lord, I feel as if I and my master are being subject to Inquisition, protested Quo.
You are correct to think so. Belisarius' call is a hero to many, yet he concealed the motives for his actions on Sotha and the presence of a potent enemy of the Imperium and the results of what he uncovered.
He conceals nothing that does not need concealing, my lord.
He conceals everything, said Felix. He knew the Catan was there.
Quo 88 did not deny it.
The ends he will put this information to are the ends the great Belisarius' call works to without fail, my lord. The salvation of humanity.
Felix laughed.
I assume you cannot be more specific.
Quo bowed.
Alas, no. A priest of the Cult Mechanicus must be allowed some secrets.
Then I proclaim myself dissatisfied. The Primarch will also be dissatisfied.
Why, my lord? Call has removed the Catan Shard to a far distant part of the galaxy, and should it return, it will surely turn its attentions against the Necrons. He has deactivated the Xenos device while salvaging all information it had to offer. This will have dealt a blow to some of our greatest foes. There is nothing more I can tell you, my lord. His quest to understand Blackstone could save us all. Perhaps it is better that few are aware of what he is doing.
I am sure he would be happy for us to accept that and allow him to work unobserved. I cannot accept such feeble assurances. I do not trust him.
Everyone has something to hide. The scythes of the Emperor, for example.
The population they watched over so closely was corrupted by the Tyranids, was it not? Said Felix. That was the source of their shame. They kept their oaths. They listened to their human charges, and they were damned because of it.
Yes, it was so, said Quo.
Felix frowned.
I have no idea how such a thing is even possible. Xenos infiltration under a chapter's nose.
All things are possible in the infinity of time and space.
Did Call know this as well? Said Felix.
Yes, admitted Quo 88.
Felix sighed. All the Emperor's gifts could not raise the burden of weariness from his shoulders.
Tell me he will at least keep his promise to Chapter Master Thracian.
At that, Quo smiled.
Observe, my lord, he said.
A thousand lights flashed all over the Zarquisitor. A swarm of pods detached from the bulk of the ship and flew towards the barren planet.
Can he never resist the temptation to theatricality? Said Felix.
You know what he is like, said Quo, who had the good grace to appear embarrassed.
Large amounts of materiel were descending to the surface of Sotha. The ships flew past the scar where the mountain and Sothopolis had been, and which still glowed dull ruby with cooling rock.
Call has released 400,000 servitors for this task, an entire temple of Magos Geologicum, Magos Biologians, and others. His vaults have given up genetic templates and samples of the world's lost biospheres.
The first cometary mining fleet has already been dispatched. He will keep his promise. In a few hundred years, Sotha will be fit for human habitation again. One day, perhaps, you might never know that it was stripped at all.
That is good. But it is not sufficient. I am displeased, and I will make my report to this effect.
For that purpose, here also I have the data Lord Gilliman requested. Kvo beckoned a servant forwards, who held out an open wooden chest full of neatly stacked crystal discs. I trust it will satisfy him and you. For now, the Archmagos has business elsewhere, but when he returns to Ultramar, which he will seek out the Imperial Regent personally. He gives you his word.
He could have given me his word himself, said Felix.
He is regretfully busy. Besides, between you and I, he thinks you might have decided to detain him.
I wonder where he got that idea from, said Felix.
Quite, my lord. Kvo bowed again. If there is nothing else, I must return to the Zarquisitor. If you need anything further, the Archmagos has left Hierophant Particular Ix Trenth in command of the geoforming efforts, and Grand Archimage Triplex Edic 01011 to oversee the reconstruction of the orbital. They are fine priests, irreproachably loyal to the Machine God and to He of Terror. They will serve you well.
They are fully autonomous.
Kvo gave an apologetic smile. As much as the Archmagos is comfortable with, those who follow the Archmagos must sacrifice only some of their self-determination for a share of his knowledge, he added hastily.
I do not understand, Call. He surrounds himself with puppet creatures.
Kvo's smile broadened. He does, like me. He can't help himself. I'm allowed enough insight to see that it does not make him happy. It is why he is so fond of you, Decimus Androdinus Felix. You are nobody's pawn. You are like a son to him. Felix stared at Kvo 88.
We are done. I will report to the Primarch.
Then I beg your leave.
Take it, said Felix tersely.
Felix watched Kvo all the way out of the door. His lackeys followed, mumbling cant and emitting plumes of scented smoke. Corminus and Ixon shut the gilded doors behind them, leaving the Tetrarch alone with his thoughts. The window drew his attention. More vessels were detaching themselves from the Zarquisitor. Light sparkled on the grey, dead face of Sotha. Work had already begun.
If you can bring life back to this world, Call, Felix said to himself, maybe I shall forgive you some of your methods.
He called down a voxhorn from the ceiling. Two servo skulls fashioned from the remains of dead Primaris warriors, the first martyrs of Sothara, bore the apparatus to his lips.
Brother Cadmus, he said.
Machines within read his voice print and instantly connected him to the scythe of the Emperor.
My lord,
said Cadmus. He had been withdrawn since the Pharos had been destroyed, but spoke proudly.
What is your command?
Contact your chapter, Cadmus. With my full authority, tell the sons of Sotha that their lord and master Thracian is dead in glorious combat, and that their world is returned to them. There are duties they must attend to. Let the Ejida orbital be their fortress monastery from henceforth, so that they might watch the eastern marches of Greater Ultramar for all threats, and fulfill their ancient obligations with honor. It is time for the scythes of the Emperor to return home.
Circa 10,000 years ago. Sir Dane came around to the Altric, slapping his face.
Director, she said. Director, are you with us? Was the procedure a success?
Sir Dane's eyes focused on her concerned expression.
You are fussing, he said.
Call's voice was strange in Sir Dane's ears. His robes and hands were damp with blood.
Stop slapping me.
Yes, my lord,
she said, backing away instantly. She signalled the guards. They saluted and lowered their weapons. Groggily, Sir Dane sat up and patted himself down.
This body is weak. It is small. It is poorly nourished. Summon my chefs. I desire to eat. A lot. And get me my weapon. It is precious to me.
The Altrix's face lit up. Evidently, she had feared the worst. Her hair swung in front of her face as she enthusiastically bowed. Sedain's appetite had been dwindling for years.
Yes, my lord.
She retrieved his gun from the guard and held it out to him in both hands.
There is no mistaking your manner, my lord. It is you.
What else did you expect? Sedain said gruffly.
It took him two attempts to take the gun from her hands. He swung his legs off the table to stand. He stumbled. The Ultrix Herminia rushed to help, but he pushed her away.
Dismiss those fools, he snapped, waving at the guards. I do not wish to be observed while I am weak.
Get out,
shouted the Ultrix, amplifying Sedain's anger. The guards departed, leaving them alone. Sedain staggered over to the second bed. His old body lay slack as an emptied bag.
I look so old, he said.
You are young again, my lord, said the Ultrix.
Sedain closed his old body's eyes with the flat of his hand and shut the open jaw tenderly.
I am, he said.
He rested a moment, holding his weight on his hands, his knuckles tight around the handle of his gun.
I can feel Call inside my mind. He lives, in part. I regret what had to be done.
Yes, my lord director.
I made a promise. I will keep it before he fades away.
Sedain made his tottering way towards the door.
The other tech priest, does he yet live?
Do you really wish to save him, my lord? He will soon be dead.
He cannot be saved?
No, director. My bolt obliterated most of his internal organs. It is a marvel he still lives. There is not time for VAT organs or augmetics to be fitted.
Then get a cryo flask for his head, Sedain snarled. Save at least some of him.
He blundered through the doors and staggered down the corridor, back to the chamber where the dying Friedrich lay.
Perhaps a memory exlode will be successful, the Ultrix said as she followed him. But why attempt it? You have what you want.
Sedain gave her a cold look.
Because I gave Call my word.
The guards had retreated to the outer door. They stood watching Friedrich bleed to death with complete detachment. Sedain went to his side and fell to his knees in the pool of red around him. Friedrich stirred weakly. His remaining human eye opened in a face grey with loss of blood.
Call,
he whispered. Sedain took his hand.
Where is the damn cryo flask? Get it in here now, he shouted.
The Ultrix ushered out the guards. Friedrich's hand was limp. Blood flowed slowly from the crater in his stomach.
The procedure was a success. I am Director Sedain, servant and confidant of the Emperor. I have come to you as I gave my word to save you. Then you killed my friend, moaned Friedrich,
his eyes closed.
I want nothing from you. He was truly your friend, Sedain asked.
He gripped Friedrich's bloody hand tighter. Friedrich looked at him again.
Yes. Yes, he was my friend. An infuriating, egotistical, self-centered, arrogant friend who always thought he was right.
A sleepy frown crossed Friedrich's face.
Yes, all of those things. But he was still my friend.
Sedain grinned sadly and winked at Friedrich.
He sounds like a terrible fellow. Perhaps I should have chosen someone less pompous. Call?
Said Friedrich, recovering a little. The Ultrix stepped forwards.
Director Sedain, is everything all right?
Yes, yes, said Sedain
imperiously. He sat back on the balls of his feet.
Well, actually, no. There is quite a lot that is not all right if we're going to be totally honest with each other.
Sir?
Sedain held up his gun and pointed it at her head.
The thing is, Herminia, I'm not Director Sedain. My name is Belisarius Call. Do you think Sedain's insipid personality could overwrite mine?
She went for her own gun, but Call was quicker.
I don't take kindly to those who kill my friends, madam.
His shot took the whole of her head off, cauterizing her neck. Her body fell to the ground with a thump.
Call, said Friedrich. You survived. I am
so glad.
Don't you die on me, Call snapped. Wake up. No dying. I forbid it.
Friedish's hand slipped from his.
Friedish. Dear Friedish. No. Wait. Hang on. Please.
Call turned to the door in a panic and shouted as loud as he could.
Bring me the cryo flask. Bring it now.
Memcording suspended. Call opened channels to multiple ocular organs. It was strange to go from that long-ago version of himself, with its laughable reliance on native human senses, to his present exalted being, replete with dozens of prosthetic enhancements. To think once he had eschewed divine enhancement. The feeling would not last long. The memories were already fading. Locking clamps disengaged, releasing him into a laboratory full of Necron technology stolen from 100 worlds. Pale green light ran in channels in the floor, linking the machine spirits of the artifacts together and keeping them alive. He had shucked off his more belligerent apparatus, becoming sleeker as a result. Currently, his appendages all sported testing equipment. Primus and Quo-88 awaited him.
You are ready, my lord? Quo-88
asked.
I am, said Call distractedly. You know, he said, as he ran his hand along the surface of a glowing obelisk. I can feel Sedain buried in me still, and Hester Aspertia, and a few others I've absorbed over the millennia. It is strange to be reminded of them.
He moved on to the next artifact.
I had totally forgotten. I wonder if I will remember them for long this time, or if I will slip once more into ignorance. Maybe I will be periodically jolted out of forgetfulness every time we encounter another beacon.
He shuddered.
I do not think I could stand that.
He moved to the center of the room. A compressed version of the Pharos star map rotated in the air, green Necron data superimposed over grainy Imperial stellar cartography.
The galaxy has changed a great deal, Master, said Primus. Can you find what you seek? Tens of millions of years have passed since this map was created.
That is so, said Call.
He gazed at the ancient overlay, taking in the simple purity of the galaxy as it was eons before mankind evolved.
The great work as it should be. No stains of psychic energy, no monsters unleashed from the mind, but the perfect function of stars, worlds, life, and peoples in accord with the sacred laws of the machine god.
He smiled. His pale lips were clearly visible, for he wore no facial prosthetic.
How much better things were then. It is up to us, up to me, to put it back the way it was.
He moved around the maps, noting in minute detail the many differences between them.
If one listens to the legends of the Eldari, one would think the old ones to be perfect angels. In truth, they have a lot to answer for.
He turned to his servants.
The Necron star map will take some months to fully comprehend. The Pharos is gone, but there are other beacons hidden upon the worlds of their ancient empire.
He sighed at the map.
Every deposit of Blackstone in the galaxy, he said, and so much more besides.
He drew himself up a little.
To business. Activate the call inferior. I'd better send Gilliman another message before he loses patience and hunts me down. And you, Friedish, begin an audit on all my memory stores across the galaxy. After the revelations given to me by the Pharos, I can only ponder what other secrets I might uncover in my scattered memory banks. It is time, he said to them, that I got to know myself a little better.
It shall be done, Archmagos.
Quo bowed and looked to be about to leave, but he hesitated.
Please, Archmagos, I am not Friedish. He is dead. I am Quo-88.
Call continued to peer into the wonders of the Necron map. Other data, more precious still, coursed through his mind, exhilarating in its alienness.
I know, Quo, he said distractedly. I know.
That was Belisarius Call, The Great Work, by Guy Haley, read by John Banks.
This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2019.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.